Warning, the host of this podcast has a penchant for the pontification of puns and an altruistically alienating affection for alliteration. If you suffer a weak constitution or get annoyed easily, you may want to seek prior medical advice or avoid this particularly perplexing podcast as the host is unbalanced as a washer full of shoes. Salutations, my slumberless stoners. We are again with another installment of Chronic Insomnia Podcast, your docent of dope jackpot, here with Lonnie and Pick of Buddy Jane. They're going to tell us a little bit about what I think is going to be something pretty big for the industry. So, guys, go ahead. Whoever you want to start, say what you got to say. Let us know who you are, why you're here.
What's up? This is Pick. I'm president, co-founder of Buddy Jane, social media's new high. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Right, man. And I'm Lonnie. I'm the other co-founder and CEO of Buddy Jane.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us a little bit about who you guys are. Let's get your background first, and then we'll get into your brainchild.
Yeah. So me and Pick, we've grown up together, known each other for 25 plus years. Grew up in the Bay Area, moved out to LA back in early 2000. We've worked on a few projects together, more in music entertainment side of business. Then he went into, well, I'll let him describe himself, but he went into marketing. I went into sales and tech, and started working for a company that got acquired by Oracle. It was about 2017. And we started looking at the cannabis space and saying, man, this is fucked up. You got the most socially unawkward person running all of social media. He's censoring cannabis businesses, making it hard for everybody to do business. They're deleting accounts for posting weed. I was like, right. Plus all the apps out are not great, right? You had Weed Maps and Leafly, and it was basically a business directory. Right. So we were like, let's see what we can do. And came up with the idea of Buddy Jane, a social platform that's really a self-feeding ecosystem, purpose-built for the cannabis industry, so for the community and for the businesses alike.
So it's just kind of like it's taking, the best parts of everything and the worst parts of everything and kind of taking it out of the niche market and bringing it into mainstream. Like here, everybody else has a social media directed at them. This is for cannabis.
This is it for cannabis. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. We wanted to omit a lot of the shit that we saw on IG, on Facebook. You smoke weed. We grew up in that culture. We're from California. So, we know stoners, right? And right. It's just a different breed. We got a different vibe. We talk differently. We act differently. We move different. We're not, trolling people and getting aggressive. It's a cool ass vibe, and that's what we try to bring to Buddy Jane. And we're seeing it right now. It's active.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now we're in beta. So it's been in beta since earlier this year, and very, very little, marketing. We started with a small list of folks that were down to try the beta, including some of our friends, and just left it open, and it's grown, it's growing daily, honestly. And so it's really exciting to see with really no aggressive push. We do our social media, we keep our presence there, but yeah, beyond that, it's just strictly organic, and it's really exciting.
So what made you guys want to get into, the reasons behind getting into the cannabis industry? Is just because, out there it's more a prevalent culture than most places, and you just guys grew up with it and knew your way around and knew the ins and outs and knew what you wanted to achieve? Or was there like a moment where something that happened in cannabis was just like, or is it just, you guys grew up with it?
I'd say it's all the above. I mean, like Lonnie touched on, we're from California, we're creative folk, I have a big background in music, as does Lonnie, and, cannabis has always been in the mix. So, I've grown a personal relationship with it myself, as a creative assistant, as well as, just overall healing and stress relief, things like that. And, through the once things got a bit more open out here in California on the legal side, we started seeing these little businesses pop up. Besides the dispensaries, you got the Weed Maps and these apps. And through my marketing background and through music, I learned a lot about the power of social media, you know, ever since like MySpace and all that, right? And so that's what was sort of clicking when we started having these conversations back in 2017 about weed and the tech space. And we saw like this huge opening of like just opportunity. And it's like, yeah, let's put our heads together. And just and the conversation never stopped. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up smoking. I mean, right. That was just
That's part of the
first time I smoked. I was in sixth grade, ditching school, like, William Braha's backyard, you know. And it's our culture. You know, my dad did 10 years behind weed. We have a couple executives that work for us that were caught up, you know, and almost went to prison over weed, growing it legally. So there's just a lot of stuff that we saw that I guess kicked this idea off. You know, Pick having the marketing and the social media background and me on the technical side, I just looked at the app space and I was like, it's barren. There's nothing out here for us. Right. Yeah. And you're looking at, you know, I have a couple friends who own dispensaries and who grow, and they're like, man, I can't even market my product on mainstream social media. I get my account flagged. One of them had over 50,000 followers and it was just gone.
Yeah, they
like
start
that.
Automatically cutting stuff off. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, they just deleted what's homeboy's
Dogface.
Dogface account on TikTok. Yeah. It's like
for TikTok after he brought him all that hype, man. You know what I mean?
Right. That's how it goes. Guy,
you know, and like
They don't care, because once they got that number, it's done. They don't care.
Disposable, man. Yeah. So that's and it was literally just for posting a T-shirt that had a pot leaf on it. You know. Crazy. So it still blows our mind, even though it's happened to our own accounts. We had our Twitter suspended for 3 weeks. We had to go back and forth with their support to get it back up.
Twitter does that shit for fun. Like Twitter just scattershots. It doesn't even matter what you're doing. Twitter just suspend your account at some point. That's like a rite of passage. You do not have a Twitter account until it's been suspended at least once.
Initiated now.
I mean, it was funny. We're you know, keeping our ears to the ground, and we saw that Cheech and Chong's account got deleted, and Chong put out this funny ass video. I don't know if you saw it.
I think I saw somebody like redid it on IG.
Animations through it where Facebook said, you know, your account's being deleted for unoriginal content. It's like unoriginal.
He is the original.
Like, motherfucker, this is our shit.
Like anybody else is unoriginal, but this
we started this.
We choose different words, man. Yeah.
It was funny. So when that happened, we actually reached out to Cheech. And after negotiating for a little while, Cheech is gonna be on board with Buddy Jane. He's gonna be a VIP client of ours all throughout the app. You're gonna be able to, you know, find out where Cheech's private stash is. He did some cool animations that he's going to release on Buddy Jane as well.
Actually, I negotiated the deal in 2010 when Cheech and Chong came out with the animated movie. I negotiated the deal to sell that. Yeah, we were selling that in Washington in our stores. So they're wonderful. Like Tommy Chong is probably one of the most professional people I've ever met in my life, and Cheech is by far the most passionate individual, you know, for what his causes and his drives. Like, they're amazing people. So that's exciting to hear that they're going to be on for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to surround ourselves with just good people. You know what I mean?
Really shape this, you know, to be like the cannabis experience, you know, overall, not just on the tech side and the social media side, but culture wise.
Right.
There's a lot we can do with this. So that's what we're trying to do.
So on the technical side, did it go through a lot of changes, a lot of iterations, or was it kind of like you guys had like the idea and this is what you were going for? Or was it like, you know what, fucking strike one ball, this fucking paper up, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, it seems like infinite iterations of different versions. I mean, we had an idea. One of the things that coming from a tech background, one of the things that I noticed is you have a lot of people with a lot of great ideas. And what they do is they hand those great ideas off to developers, and then those developers kill your great ideas and they develop an app for yourself. So what we wanted to do was create all the wireframing, the design, the process behind the picks and clicks and how everything works, all the different functions, features. We kept that in-house. We kept creative control. And then at the end of that, we handed over wireframes to our developers and said, all right, now build this. And, you know, the way it looked, you know, back in 2018, it looks a lot different now. We've been
adding
to it. Yeah. So, I mean, we wanted to have social at our core, right? A way to communicate and vibe. And we've now built in something called Budcast, where you can do live stream video. You can have smoke sessions with people, you know, smoke with anybody anywhere in the world, right?
The Buddy Finder and shit like that. It looks great.
Yeah, nice. and Bud Finder. So,
yeah,
all the dispensaries that you're getting, you're going to Weed Map for, and then logging back into IG to talk about. You can find it all within the app and just stay within the app and
then
socialize.
I saw that you guys had like a chat function and stuff. And then speaking from, I've mm-hmm. had to deal with, like, as a dispensary manager, I've had to deal with Weed Maps and Leaf Leader regular updates, things and keep shit, mm-hmm. you know, like the menus and stuff. And I know that can be a hassle. And I saw that you guys had like a chat function with the dispensary. Mm-hmm. So is it on that you guys are pushing that, the, like, the business aspect? I saw that you had that too, like the business aspect of it, so that, you know, the dispensaries can have contact with you guys and then contact with the patients, and it's going to be like user friendly and shit like that.
Absolutely. We wanted to open that bridge up between community and industry. You know, we see like the way Weed Maps and all the other ones are structured is they have this wall. Basically, you can go and view. The most communication you're getting is to leave a rating or a review. You know what I mean? And that's not a back and forth thing. That's, you know, that's it. So we wanted to open that line up, because it's, you know, we see this as a movement, not just a business or a place for community. It's both, it's all together.
I mean, the culture wouldn't have gotten anywhere without all aspects of it. It's not like, it's not like, you know, the image carried it, or it's not like the money carried it. It's the patients, the growers, the image, the entertainers, you know, like, we wouldn't be here without each other. So why not incorporate all of that into it? That makes sense.
And the great thing about a business is they can set up an account for a fraction of what they're paying for Weed Maps, right? They're going to get, you know, 100 times more value, more features. Right. And what they can, it allows them to have an account where they can then engage with their customer base. Mm-hmm. You know, they can build relationships through chat message, through social. They can put their bud tenders on Budcast every day to live stream. They can do Q&As, product launches. I mean, there's a lot of business can do on the app that they just can't do outside of Buddy Jane. And we're doing all this at a very conservative, low cost for a business. We're not, you know, that was one thing I looked at Weed Maps. This is my personal opinion. I think they had a monopoly on the industry for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And they took it to businesses. I mean, they were charging, you know, 30 grand a month for some people. It's
like, well, when you've got like third party app developers that you contract out and stuff like that, and you're just kind of like overall in charge, it's going to be a lot more expensive. Like you guys said, you do it in-house. So it's like vertically integrated, you know, like all aspects of it. So you can control what it looks like, but you can also control, you know, how much you're going to charge somebody, because you did a lot of the work yourselves, which in my opinion, anybody, regardless of what it is, when you do it yourself and then you push it and you hand it off to other people, it kind of makes it a little more worth it. Because you know that the people, you know, behind it are truly behind it. Like, they've got blood, sweat, and tears.
Has our vision.
Shit on the line. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely has our vision. We did hand it off to people that, I don't want people thinking we built it.
No, yeah.
We
were coming in.
Yeah. It doesn't look like Atari. It's not, it doesn't look like Pong. We handed it off. We have some really good developers. And we actually just brought on a guy, we're not announcing it who it is yet, but he comes from one of the top 10 software companies in the world. And he is doing product management for them. And we're excited to have him on to help us with our strategy as we look forward, looking at, you know, how we can, you know, enhance the experience for consumers and retailers as a whole, and also help try to fix some of the supply chain issues that we see with cultivators handing, you know, trying to get their product off to retailers.
So what's your opinion on everything going now as far as, you know, the recreational, the medical, how it's coming up more states? Like, a lot of opinions I've seen from people is, you know, once it becomes legal across the board, they want to keep the vertical integration or the really restricted side to be medical, and then recreational can, you know, can be a little more collective, cooperative, open ups. Like, what's your opinion once everything finally gets decriminalized? Like, how do you think, should it just be wide open, or should there still be, you know, the distinction between the two?
Yeah, I don't know what the distinction is going to be. I think that, you know, we're going to have regulations, right? Because you want to control quality, yeah, right? And I think that's important. I think we did it. It's just a tough spot. I'm ready for the decriminalization of weed, right?
Right.
We have all these this racial injustice, which is tied to, in a large part, weed and the mm-hmm. criminalization of it, because, you know, blacks are 4.5 times more likely to get arrested for smoking weed than a white person that's smoking the same weed, right?
Yep.
And then they get out of jail, and then you got to, you know, and then there's limited opportunity for minorities in the cannabis industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'll just put this out here. If you're a minority business and you want to get on our app, you're on there at no cost year one. So we're working with minorities, and we're trying to give back some of that equity and make some opportunities for them in our space. But yeah, I think it's going to be tough. There's going to have to be regulation. It's going to have to be, I think, at the federal level. They're going to have to release some of the banking restrictions. I mean, shit, it's hard for us. We don't even sell directly. We don't touch plant. Yeah. And we have challenges getting our SEO out. Mm-hmm. We have banking challenges, and it's just because we have cannabis.
I remember in Washington, this was like 2011, 2012, we just started using Squares, and one of the dispensary I was working with, I was like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can just start doing this.
Yeah.
But we had to form an account, and we had to make a fake t-shirt company. So like, I'd have patients coming in and be like, hey man, when the fuck did I spend $600 on t-shirts? I'm like, no, dude, that's just what I can pay my employees. Like, that's just so like every payday, I'm not doling out like $1,000 to cash to people and saying, get the fuck out of my building, you know? So that's going to be one of the, like that and marketing, I think, are going to be the last holdouts. Like those two things are going to be like, wait until it's completely decriminalized. And like, all right, now you can open up bank accounts and put a fucking ad in the newspaper, you know?
Right.
Which is like two basic human rights nowadays, if you when you think about it. Like, you should be able to speak about your shit, and you should be able to, you know, put your money in a fucking safe place. But, you know, that's
yeah, but they'll feed alcohol down everybody's throat on every fucking winter. You know, and market bar fights and as entertainment, and, you know, all the addiction and all the challenges that come with that. That's okay. Right. But, you know, flour,
no, that's evil. That shit's evil. And you can't even look at it, because if you look at it, your kids' minds are going to melt and shit. You're going to fucking, crank behind the seesaw.
There's a lot of powerful people that do not want
absolutely
legal. You know what I mean? A lot of people. You got the lumber industry.
That other green. Oil. They love that other green.
Oh, man. It's going to be a battle. And the laws never change overnight. And it's going to take a lot of effort. But one of the things that we want to do also is just normalize weed. You know, I'm a father. I have 6 kids. My wife is a nurse. She doesn't smoke weed. I tried blowing it in her face one time and she got mad at me, but, you know, and I don't smoke for any health benefit. I smoke weed just to get high. Pick's different, right? He likes to smoke for, you know, the health benefits. But we want to normalize that. It's okay. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Either way, it's okay.
Joint rather than, you know, have a glass of wine or whiskey or what have you. What's the problem? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I hear the lighter and the percolating right now, and I love it.
You know what I'm saying,
I'm one of those like I've been smoking like I'm from Florida, so I remember I got fucking swamp people family members. I remember it was probably like 10, 11 years old out in fucking Geneva. Cousins like, hit this. My wife, I laid down in the mud for like 30 minutes, just like, what the fuck? You know, so I do it. And then later on in life, you know, life starts to kick you in the nuts and shit. And then I was in the military and all that jazz. So later on, it was like, oh, I smoked weed and it happens to help me with stuff. So I'm kind of like in between. I'm in the gray area. I'm like, I do it because I do it. Like, I like to get fucking high sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's sometimes life is boring as shit sometimes. You know, you need to add a little whimsy and shit, but
I mean, it's great stress relief, man.
But you know, it does help with sleep and pain and headaches and moods and shit like that. So it just kind of it was serendipitous. It worked out. I was lucky in the fact that, you know, the thing that I love to do also keeps me alive and functioning properly.
Can you imagine if everybody who drank a beer was like, yeah, I drink beer, you know, because I got a bad back. I have glaucoma. You know, they're like making up excuses like why they drink
ale helps with my colitis.
So ridiculous.
You know, like,
I do this to shape my belly.
Right? Be like, I want that six pack. Nah, I'm going for a keg, son.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. We're hoping that the perception changes, and we're seeing it right in front of us, right?
I mean, yeah, we're, you know, it's a little different. I think we're in that California bubble. So, you know,
right. I had a guest on a little while ago, and he's a pharmacist, and he works for a very large chain. He's like, you know, I'm not going to say, but we're one of the largest ones. And he's like, you know, because I asked him, he also works at a hospital. And as far as working at a hospital, they have no policies against it. If you're a cannabis patient and you're a doctor, oh, fucking well. But of course, the chain has policies against it, things like that. But he's like, now that being said, once it's decriminalized, they're ready products on the shelves. So like, it's a little, you know, comforting to know that even these big chain pharmaceutical companies or these big, you know, it's not taboo enough for them to wait. Like they're, you know, revving the engine, getting ready to go with products, you know, shit like that. So it is, you're right. It has come a very long way as far as it's becoming more and more. It's not necessarily a part of the culture, but it's out there and people are talking about it one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, you got the presidents having to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? That's a long way then. Shit. You go back 10 years ago, you wouldn't imagine that shit. So it's like,
no.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
That's not true. Clinton fucking smoked.
Oh, Clinton did. Yeah. Well, Clinton was different. Clinton was the exception. He was a cool president, man. Like, he was the sax playing 90s president.
Everybody knew.
Was on The Simpsons, yo, before it was cool.
Right. True.
All the cool presidents have smoked.
Right.
Clinton, Obama.
That's facts.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
So what, as far as like on a personal standpoint, you know, like what are your hopes for the movement, for the industry, not necessarily for what, you know, what you guys are doing, but just big picture, what do you want to see, you know, for your kids, like their generation, what do you, you know, how do you want cannabis to be viewed or what are your hopes?
I mean, like you said, normalization in one word, I don't want to see people getting arrested for weed, period.
Right.
I don't care who you are, what color you are, what so-called class you're in. Like, that's just ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? So normalization is huge. And of course, you know, legalization, access, you know, like I just, you know, I'm a firm believer in it as being a real beneficial plant beyond the high aspect, you know, so there's no reason it shouldn't be accessible. Besides all this politicizing and propaganda that keeps it, you know, through this fight. So I hope that when the future opens all that up, and this is all, you know, all in the past, like this fight that had to be done.
I would like to see business opportunity, right? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for people to make a living in this industry.
Right.
That's just, you know, a cool industry to be in. I hope that we don't end up with Coca-Cola and Marlboro brand cannabis and that's it. You know, I really want to see mom and pop brick and mortar shops, you know, survive and thrive. I want to see, you know, people create careers out of this through entertainment, you know, using cannabis as you know, who they are. And that's what I hope.
Yeah.
So that actually that leads into something I was going to ask you guys as far as the cannabis industries that are popping up, like being on social media, like what are your opinions on that? And then what are your, like, you know, if you've got any goals or anything that you want to do, you know, like partner with, you know, these tour buses or, you know, these pop-ups and shit like that. Like, what are your opinions on that?
I love it, man. I think it's awesome. You know, I think like people come to California, want to take these weed tours. I think that's dope, man. And like, it should
literally
be, because it's, you know,
I think it's strange. I think it's a little, if you're going to take someone on a weed tour, like, take them on a mission like we used to have to do, find a payphone, make a call.
But they already, you know,
sit on somebody's couch for 30 minutes, you know, and you got to get up and you got to go to McDonald's because their kid needs a happy meal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you don't get to ask what kind of weed it is. It's weed.
Somebody's a boiler for 30 minutes.
Yeah, crack a wrap, roll it up, and smoke it. And that's, you know, that's your weed tour.
Pick that shit out, right? Yeah.
But I see, like, you know, how they do, like, bar crawls and shit like that, pub crawls. Mm-hmm. I want to see, like, weed, you know, dispensary crawls and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. I would love to see it more like the wineries. Like, that would be fun, right? You go out and do some
events and shit, yeah.
Yeah, bud tasting. And,
you walk through a greenhouse or, you know, like a field or something like that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, it was funny. When we first started this, we were at this.
Up in the Napa Valley.
We were up in at the rooftop in downtown LA. I forget what the place was, but they had this It was a brewery up on top. It was a beautiful view, and they had this glass partition. We were like, man, it'd be cool if, like, behind that glass it was just weed, and it was beer and bud, right? So right. I would love to see that, too, where you could go out in public settings, you know, not blowing smoke in everybody's face, but, right. you know, in establishments that allow that, where you could just, you know, go out and smoke and, you know, have a beer, whatever you want, all in the same place. It'd be cool. Have you done a tour?
I haven't. I went to a pop-up session in Florida. I haven't done one of the tours yet because I was in Florida since 2015, 2016. I just got here. Mm-hmm. There's a Tulsa Cannabis Tours and a few things like that. So I'm getting into that. But I've been to a pop-up session, and it was interesting because it was like downtown Orlando. And, you know, like, they've got all the security and everything. And my wife was getting her card, but she hadn't gotten it yet. I had mine. So we went in and they didn't really check. Like, I just got the tickets. They looked at the tickets, you know, they give you like an iPad down, and you walk in, and then it's a dark room. It's like an old office building. You know, you've got lights and you've got all kinds of tables with shit, but Florida was really slow. Like, it was there for a year and a half before they even got flower. They literally just put edibles on like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're fucking stupid, but that's one of the main reasons I got out that bitch. So like that was definitely interesting, but it was literally like, you know, cause I'm 30 or something years old. So like, I remember, you know, going over to a buddy's house or, you know, going to a party like that. And it's just, you know, like LED lights and people sitting around on couches and people walking around and shit like that. So it was kind of like a nice refresh, but I'm interested to see, you know, the actual like tours and shit like that, how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, if they had like tours, you know, like picks out near Joshua Tree, like if you could go on a guided tour and pot was provided, you could go out into nature and do some cool stuff and smoke with some cool people. I would love stuff like that.
Or like one of those like retreats, like a cannabis spiritual retreat. Like you kind of go out and like, you know, like a yurt somewhere, just get fucking baked and find your spirit animal.
That's what I'm doing.
I got spaced out here in Tulsa. I'm going to do the first ever cannabis spiritual retreat. Let's get this bitch rolling.
Then they legalize shrooms and
Well, we got all the like we got the Cherokee and the Choctaw Nation and everything around here. So peyote is legal in like 45% of the state just because of the large, you know, the different nations that they've got here.
That's dope.
We just one of our sales guys, he just went out to Arizona and went to one of the reservations and did some peyote. He's just going through it in life. It's like, I need a cleansing. That'll do it.
So what's the one thing that you guys have found, especially in California? Like, I know that you guys had some troubles industry wise and different things like that. So what is the one thing that you guys have found that like just fucking pisses you off, that you want to get out there and let people know, be like, change this shit. Like, this is one of the, you know, pet peeve or anything like that. Like, what's the shit that you're finding that, you know, your side of the country is stumbling on?
In the weed industry, or
in the industry,
just open up a box.
No, just your perspective of the industry.
Yeah, for me, it's all around these laws, right? It's all around the laws. It's around how people are getting permitted, the money that it takes to get permitted. You know, how they put these lotteries together, you know, and how the laws change from city to county. It's just stupid. And
it's true.
I would like to see it change. There's a way to regulate this industry without taking advantage of it. And I think that's what these politicians are doing. You know, it's big money to lock people up. It's big money to get these businesses set up. And then you tax the shit out of them. And there's just got to be some change.
Yeah, it's confusing, really, the different county. When I moved to Joshua Tree from L.A., I wasn't even aware that you couldn't have dispensaries out here. I assumed you could because people come out here for trips and shit like that. So, but you have to go down the hill. You have to go to either Palm Springs or back to, you know, toward LA to go to a legit dispensary. So yeah, it's just confusing, man. It's just every, you know, California is such a dynamic state. You know, every piece, every county has their own laws and shit. So
right.
It's just yeah, it's kind of a cluster, man. So
no, I totally get that. Like I was talking with somebody else, and in Florida, it's the exact same way. Like I lived in Orange County, and Orange County, you could have dispensaries, you could grow, you could do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the city I lived in had a moratorium against it. But the processing facility that I worked in was in that same city. So mm-hmm. the county we were in, you could do it. The city, you couldn't. But then the county next to us, you couldn't either. So like I was growing it and processing it in a city that I lived in that it was illegal, but the county that city was zoned in, it was legal.
Yeah. Depending on where you live, you could be a medical provider or a drug dealer.
Yeah. Doing the exact same thing.
It's crazy, the hypocrisy. You know, another thing that I'd like to this doesn't bug me at all. It's just something I've noticed is that there's this divide between the community and the businesses. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a business community. You go on LinkedIn.
Huge. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You go on mainstream social media. It's more smoke community. Right.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing really bringing them together. And I don't know if that's because there's not one platform like Buddy Jane to do that, or another thing to do that, or if there's a little bit of, you know, eyebrow raising in the industry.
I think that, but I think also because it's these different platforms with specific goals. Like LinkedIn is, you know, like a lot of times I'll get weird messages on LinkedIn. I'm like, you know, this is my business profile, right? If you would like to contact me in another manner, please find my Instagram or my Facebook or fucking Tinder or Grindr, but get that shit off my fucking business, man. You know, don't shit where you eat. You know, so there's just this divide, and I've noticed especially like in places in Florida, like they pushed vertical integration, and it divided, you know, the dispensary workers, the professional side from the patients, and it was done specifically. So I think that whenever you let things in, but you have its specific category, like LinkedIn is cool with the cannabis business, but that's it, you know, and Instagram is cool with, you know, the artsy shots sometimes, you know, like the artsy shots or, you know, different pictures and shit like that or things like that. But they're not cool with you doing business because they can't regulate it. So I think that what you guys are going to do might actually be what we're looking for, because of the fact that it's about cannabis. It's not about social media with a cannabis aspect. It's not about, you know, locations with a cannabis aspect. It's not about business. It's about cannabis with a business aspect, with a social aspect, so it's not one thing that is established that then let cannabis in. It's cannabis developing from, you know, from the inside out.
Yeah, we're actually looking to develop, it's on our product roadmap, something that does suit more of the business professionals, so that they can have a space that's a you know, exclusive business space as well. So like you said, so you're not just getting the ragtag that's you know, promoting their new album that's coming out, that's sure to fucking be fire, right? you know, you can go into this space within Buddy Jane, and it's just business, content, vendors, like a vendor network. So that's something that we think we figured out, and we'll you know, it's going to take us some time to develop it, but I think it should be really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what do you guys love the most, like, about working in the industry? Like, what do you wake up every day and you're just like, this is my fucking favorite part of the day?
I mean, I enjoy the creation process, man. You know, just really the building from, you know, brick for brick, like he said, click for click, every piece on this app. And just as it is right now, is we've had a conversation, you know, to decide each piece. So, and we have a great team, you know, that we work with for each step of the way, you know, helping with marketing, sales, you know, everything around. So it's really a building process is what drives me.
I agree. I think it is the whole process of
a journey.
Yeah. Just creating something that we think is going to be special, and just going through that. And then once we get through that, like for the next journey. And it's cool, you know, working with Pick. We've been best friends for so long. We're very yin and yang, you know, but totally fit well together, you know? I'm more loud in your face, Pick.
Like, I've noticed, like Pick's got things to say, but he's just like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it works.
He's more thoughtful. I get into trouble, you know. But we work well together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming up with marketing strategies is really fun. We're working on something that we think is going to be really cool right now.
And you know, quite, again, it's a journey. So the people we meet along the way is, you know, doing things like this. It's all, it keeps it like in real life. So we're not just in this development bubble of our own. You know,
right.
So.
And it's a testament to the plant itself. I mean, like, look at the different people. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what walks of life, what age, sex, gender, preference, religion. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Everybody likes it. You know,
yeah, like, you smoke weed and somebody hands you a joint.
Yeah.
You know, smoke.
Like, there's something that happens to you somewhere that somebody else happens to them all their life and you guys have never met in your life. And you're like, I fucking know exactly how you feel. You know, like nothing else but cannabis can say that. Yeah. So that's perfect. I love that shit.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, there's just, you know, there's just cool people in this industry.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of cool people. In the movie.
We've already made some friends with people on our app.
Yeah. Right.
It's crazy. It's a true. There's a great way to connect and vibe with people in this industry, and it's pretty badass.
So, what if, like, you got, like, what advice do you have, you know, for anybody coming new into the industry in any aspect, you know, whether they want to get into something like what you're doing, or they just want to, you know, they just want to be a bud tender, or they want to open up their own business, they want to, you know, start something big, small, whatever. Like, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as people, you know, that started their own shit in the industry, like, what is your advice you can give, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed future entrepreneurs?
I mean, I think it starts, no matter what it is, it starts with a vision. So get firm on your vision first and make
sure. Hone it in. Yeah. Don't let all your ideas, like, pick a couple good ideas.
Well, that's a good idea, yeah.
See? You guys work, like, you know, like, he had the idea. You honed it. There you go. It's perfect. It's a tag team. I love it.
But yeah, I think it starts with a vision. If you have a vision that you're diehard with, that you feel is like, okay, I can envision this. I can envision myself as a part of this, and that's the first move, you know, and build up from there. And just all, you know, always keep your eyes open, research, do your diligence, find your space, and just hone in on that.
Another thing is people always talk about be original. Right, be original. You don't have to be original. You don't have to be the first one to think of something and have the best idea. Come up with a solid idea that has business value, you know, and then plan it out like Pick said, but then execute. That's the thing that people kind of miss. People get caught up in the good ideas. And the hardest part is execution, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time, and you have to have perseverance. You have to be stubborn. You have to will yourself through that execution of these ideas. That's my advice. I mean, there's plenty of times where we could have tapped out, doing this and
follow through perseverance.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying with a vision, because if you have to feel something for it, because you're going to get tested. You're going to get naysayers. You're going to get all the things in the world telling you why you shouldn't do it. So you got to have enough personal, you know, belief in whatever confidence. It is, and confidence that goes with that, because it will get tested. So.
And then what are like some don'ts, like something that you've seen, you know, because everything from the business to the cultivation, it's trial and error with the plant. Like, and we pass on those, hey man, like, don't do this. So, like, what have you guys seen coming up that, like, you've butted heads against and have learned to circumvent or overcome that you want other people to know, hey, this shit's gonna happen, you know, do this or don't do this.
Never trust a developer when he tells you it's gonna be ready next week. never finalize your marketing based on what your developer told you.
Chicken and eggs, like don't count them bitches.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and with that, I think there is a fine line between setting goals and then attaching those goals to specific dates. Because I think sometimes the date can really be a mind fuck, because it's an internal beatdown if you don't reach a certain date. You know what I'm saying?
No, so
I think plan your goal, stay focused on the goal. The date, you know, let the date TBD. You know what I'm saying?
Right. If you're doing things the right way and you're putting the right amount of effort behind it, it's going to happen as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
If you try to rush things, you know,
you're inducing pressure for.
Right. You're already under stress. Don't add more stress to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anything else you guys want to let everybody know? You guys, something to get out, announcements. Remember, you know, the more exclusives you give me, the more I'll appreciate it. No, is there anything that you want to leave the people with?
Well, we are going to launch early next year on both Android and iOS. We are working on ways in which we can monetize the app for people so that people who build up a following can get paid off of their live streams, can get paid from endorsements and marketing ventures. We're trying to do it in a way to where it's not a big corporate takeover taking, you know, 70% of the profit. We're really trying to grow this out for people. We have some interesting concepts around some crypto and blockchain technology that I think can really help the industry on the financial end, but also through loyalty rewards or through, you know, the supply chain. So, you know, keep your eye out for Buddy Jane. Download it now. If you're on iOS, come join the party. Do your part, man. Buddy Jane's gonna be as big as everybody makes it. I mean, we're building it and we're stepping out the way. And it's like, hey, let's go. Where are we going?
Like it's for the people,
for us, by us. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, and big shout out and salute to everybody that has joined on early. You know, it's a dope group of people. Like I said, it's growing daily. So, yeah, just keep spreading the word. If you want any info, it's at buddyjane.com.
All right, there you guys go. Hey, thank you, Lonnie, Pick. Appreciate it. Love having you guys in there. You're more than welcome to come back anytime.
Thanks,
thank you guys for listening. Buddyjane.com. Check that shit out. Download it. Follow it. You guys, all social media. I know you guys are all over Instagram, mm-hmm. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all that shit. So follow them anywhere. Yeah. Check this out. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being on. And check this out, mjbulls.com, Chronic Insomnia Podcast. If you want to say something, if you want to just listen, whatever, you can get in touch with me there. Have you on my show. You got something to say, say it. Check out all the other shows you got at mjbulls.com. But thanks again for listening, guys. Remember, tune in, toke up, and think. Chronic Insomnia Podcast.